your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. In Western Michigan, a transcribed roundup of the news and views of the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan. Your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. 150 workers in Vicksburg will start out tomorrow to raise $55,000 for the construction of a new addition to Franklin Memorial Hospital in that town. The campaign will get underway with a kickoff dinner in Vicksburg tomorrow evening. The Vicksburg Commercial reported last week that the workers will get down to the serious business of soliciting next Tuesday morning, covering Vicksburg, Mendon, Portage, Schoolcraft, Climax, and Fulton, plus all the area intervening. The Commercial reported that the need for a hospital addition has been felt for many years in Vicksburg, and that the hospital has been overcrowded on many occasions. This new addition is going to provide room for 16 additional beds, more than doubling the present capacity. The workers hope to complete the drive and reach the quota by the 18th of June. Another construction project is pending in Vicksburg, according to the Commercial. Electors of the Vicksburg School District will go to the polls on June 13th to determine whether more than $500,000 in bonds shall be issued for the construction of a new school building, or rather, new school buildings. If the issue passes in this month's election, a new junior high school, a new senior high school, a combination auditorium gymnasium, and a new grade school in the Fulton District will be constructed. The Vicksburg Community Schools, by the way, represent a consolidation of about 20 districts. School officials are hopeful that the voters will pass the proposal. Well, another city is planning new hospital buildings, too. The Greenville Daily News reported last week that the contracts for the new United Memorial Hospital in Greenville may be issued sometime next winter. Planning the construction of a building as large as a new hospital is no small job, and it takes months to complete all the details. The Greenville people have been working for many months in their hospital plans, and it'll be many months more before the hospital becomes a reality. But Greenville is looking far into the future, and someday the work will begin to show results. Final plans are expected to be approved by August 1st, and it's hoped that the final contract will be issued by March 15, 1950. Well, the city of Holland may soon have a brand new Civic Center building if present plans work out as scheduled. Hope College started the ball rolling with a plan that would call for the raising of between $600,000 and $700,000 for the construction of a gymnasium auditorium building. But the Holland Evening Sentinel reported last week that the college is quite willing to withdraw from the picture and let the city carry on the project if it wishes. Advanced plans call for a building with a seating capacity of 5,000 persons, or about half that number, when the building is used for basketball games. Everyone seems to be in favor of the idea, although one drawback has been mentioned. C.C. Crawford, Holland Superintendent of Schools, says that a bond issue would be necessary in the near future in order to provide Holland with important school buildings. In addition, a bond issue would probably be necessary for the Civic Center, and Mr. Crawford doubted if voters would favor both issues at the same time. The Stanton Clipper Herald last week carried the figures on a very interesting report made recently by the Michigan Survey, a state taxpayer organization. The figures reveal that only 34 Michigan counties are self-supporting. A self-supporting county is one that gives the state of Michigan more dollars than it receives during the fiscal year. Thus, only 34 out of a total of 83 Michigan counties paid more money to the state than they received last year. One conclusion which may be drawn from these figures is that the diversion of sales tax dollars to local units has had relatively little effect on their ability to support themselves. The 34 self-supporting counties listed in 1948 is exactly the same number listed in 47. At Sturgis, the City Commission has finally decided to turn down an offer of $100,000. The money thus returns to the estate of the donor and may be used for purposes approved by the estate trustees. You see, a leading Sturgis citizen who died recently provided that $100,000 was to be given to the city to construct a chapel in Oak Lawn Cemetery. However, the construction of the chapel would use up the entire sum of money and leave no funds at all for maintenance. According to the Sturgis Journal, the cemetery board estimated that it would cost about $4,000 a year to maintain the building, and the commission figured that that would be too expensive. Another school district which will be having an election on June 13th is the Allegan City School District. A citizens' committee interested in the problems connected with the crowded school conditions in Allegan investigated the situation and issued a complete report, which was printed in the Allegan News this week. The report mentions that there is a great shortage of elementary school facilities in the city, and that the junior high school will be greatly overcrowded in the near future. It's the opinion of the committee that the June 13th election is of great importance to the future of Allegan, and that the voters cannot afford to turn down the proposed school bond issues. The big news in Belding last week was the fact that the materials have arrived for the construction of a new viaduct over the Flat River and the Chesapeake and Ohio Railroad in that city. The viaduct is a civic improvement that has long been needed in Belding, and present plans call for the start of the construction early in August. The Belding Banner News states that the viaduct should be completed by August of next year. And now here's my colleague Harry Travis with some of the stories in the news.
The Charlotte Republican Tribune pointed out that Ralph Arnold, town clerk of Charlotte, really earns his money. And it's no easy job, for he doesn't earn his pay at one or even two jobs. Mr. Arnold has to perform four different jobs in order to bring home a $50 a week salary. Here's how it works. Arnold is city clerk at $11.77 a week. He's water clerk at $13.46 a week. He's clerk of the municipal court at $42 a month. And he's deputy water clerk at $64 a month. The first annual turtle derby is all over in Three Rivers. Winner of the big event was a speedy turtle called Dick, named after his owner, Dick Bogash of Three Rivers. Proceeds from the big derby will go toward the purchase of microfilm equipment for the local library. It might be explained that the microfilm material can be lent to any bedridden person who can then read without having to hold a book or to move around. The Three Rivers Commercial thought the event was worth an 8-column heading and a large picture of the winning turtle and its pilot, young Nancy Michael. A number of newspapers in the area, including the Rockford Register and the Cedar Springs Clipper, will carry a series of feature articles entitled Tall Timber Tales. This will be a series of articles about the good old days in Michigan's lumbering activities. They'll be written by E.J. Peterson of Sand Lake, Michigan, a veteran of Michigan lumber activities. The first article in the series tells about a lumberjack who lost a bet on a log burling contest, and as a penalty, he had to eat his own whiskers. Well, the lumberjack paid off on this bet by mixing the whiskers with syrup and eating them on his pancakes. The grim and foreboding walls of the Allegan County Jail are still hearing some rather interesting folk tunes these days, for an amateur musician, Charles Jones, is confined in the jail. Jones has been writing songs during his confinement. The titles tell their own story, Alimony Blues, and another song called The Allegan County Jail Blues. Although Jones has been confined for quite some time, the Allegan Gazette reports he doesn't complain about the time. He's just too busy writing songs. Now back to Dr. Dunbar.
All right, Harry. The Allegan Gazette also headlined last week a story with the word divorce in big black letters. The article went on to say that divorce just isn't as profitable as it used to be. The Gazette reported that a large number of alimony accounts are in arrears in Allegan County, and that the county hit an all-time high last year in alimony payments. The Gazette's advice is to think carefully before you contemplate divorce. Well, the weather in Hastings Friday night was clear and warm, much to the relief of many Hastings residents. Rain Friday night would not have been welcome at all. The high school commencement exercises were held outdoors on the school athletic field Friday evening because a serious fire made it impossible to use the auditorium. The Hastings Banner reported last week that the auditorium fire, which took place early Wednesday morning, did damage estimated at $45,000. It's going to take many months to repair the auditorium, but members of the Board of Education met immediately after the fire and started plans for the rebuilding. By the way, the speaker at the Hastings commencement last Friday was Dr. Harold C. Hunt, a former instructor at Hastings who is now superintendent of schools in Chicago. Mr. Hunt taught at Hastings more than 20 years ago, and since that time he's come a long way. He's held many important jobs, among them the post of superintendent of schools in Kalamazoo. The Hastings Banner also reported that a resident of the town recently was awarded a $1,000 prize in a literary contest at the University of Michigan. He's DeForest Walton, a Hastings High School graduate who is now studying at Michigan. Walton is also a former faculty member at Western Michigan College. The people of Coloma were happy to hear last week that the Coloma Cooperative Planning Plant is back in operation after being closed down during the winter. The first produce to go through the cannery this week was 20 tons of rhubarb. The Coloma Courier reported that a number of additional workers will be hired at the plant as soon as the strawberry crop comes in, which should be around the 10th to the 15th of this month. After 55 years, the Tripp Drugstore in Allegan has changed hands. State Senator Harold Tripp made the sale this week to Lloyd Lawson of Detroit, according to the Allegan Gazette. The store was founded 55 years ago by the senator's father, Burl Tripp, and has been in the family's control ever since. The Gazette mentioned that one reason Tripp might have sold the store was that he may be a candidate for lieutenant governor on the Republican ticket in 1950. The Gazette also reported that Allegan County is having financial troubles. There's barely enough money in the general fund to last out the current month, and officials of the county are busy trying to figure out what to do. The auditors from the state of Michigan have warned the supervisors that something had better be done right away. The deficit was explained by an unexpected tax delinquency in the county. Allegan County, by the way, isn't the only county with money troubles. The Greenville Daily News stated that Montcalm County is running into the red. And the state auditor general's office also has warned Montcalm officials that something's got to be done to improve the situation. In the city of Bronson, the townspeople were saddened last week to hear of the death of William H. Davis, who had been a jewelry merchant in Bronson for more than 60 years. Mr. Davis died Tuesday morning, May 24th. Business places in Bronson closed on the day of the funeral, according to the Bronson Journal. Athens is finally getting that lighted athletic field, which has been planned for many months. The Athens Times reported last week that the dedication ceremonies were held last Friday night, with a capacity crowd on hand to witness the opening of the new park. The Sturgis Chamber of Commerce is sampling opinions of Sturgis residents, and they're trying to find out on which night Sturgis business places should remain open. A coupon was printed in last week's editions of the Sturgis Journal to be clipped, filled out, and returned to the chamber offices. The retail merchants of the city plan to open on whichever night is favored by the voters. At present, they're undecided as to whether Friday night or Saturday night is the more convenient. And now here's your announcer with late state news and a word about the weather. And that's what's doing in Western Michigan, heard each Sunday afternoon at 1:45 p.m. Listen in again next week for your hometown newspaper of the air and what's doing in Western Michigan.